Here comes Chazere, has the ball in. At the buzzer, he throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76-all, Chazere flew through the lane and lays it in.
Saves of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Chazere goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
And a pleasant good afternoon. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture. It's your Rye Show. The Pag Meter, Matty J on a... How about this weather? Can we hold it until football starts?
Well,
but it's a great Thursday.
It's a beautiful day. I'm so happy for climate change. It surprises me daily. Beautiful day today.
Really is. It was 70 driving in. I flew back from Utah this morning. So we're going to talk about Utah for a minute. Wow.
The balance of the state.
We're at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone. The place is jamming right here. I think when it's cool outside, people want to come in and they have the shopping fever going.
Yeah, it goes both ways. When it's extremely warm outside, you want to come inside. And when it gets really cool, you want to come on inside, say hello to my little friend,
yeah,
Fashion Furniture.
Bonnie's making the lemonade. We got cookies. We got Papalo's Pizza. Bobby Boy brought it over to us. We got a little pepperoni, the cheese, the combo. What's the other one?
And the young guys, Bobby, are smart because he went a little vegetarian pizza. Oh. We have the pepperoni. We have the combination, the meat lover's delight. Fabulous.
Fabulous. Matty, how you doing, kid?
I'm doing well, my friend.
I like it.
Enjoying the time. For the first time, I can believe in any summer, I've been involved in football, specifically coaching for, I don't know, about 20 years now. And I've never gone out on the football field. Basically, it's July now, but the end of June, and literally had to sweater up. It was that cold this morning at 5:30 when our boys started getting rolling.
Well, you know it's coming.
It's coming. You can expect it.
August, September.
But in this business, we take what we can take, and this is as good as it gets, getting ready for 4th of July.
Well, I was in Utah for 3 days for work for Langston Bag, and so I'm over there doing my thing, driving by three high schools. And by the way, unbelievable high schools.
Yes.
They're all in full gear. They're still in spring ball. And I talked to one of the coaches in Utah. I said, hey, we're about California. Oh, my God, you guys are – it's changing a lot over there. And I go, well, changing? You guys are in full gear right now. Yeah, it's our last week of practice. They're in full gear, Matt.
Yeah, and they do that in Texas. In Texas, they have not only full gear for spring ball, but they actually have a spring game like you would see reminiscent of Division I football, an Alabama spring game, a Georgia, Fresno State spring game. They get to play and scrimmage in full gear.
Full gear.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous, quite frankly.
There was 85 players out there.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous. I think it's probably overkill, quite frankly.
Well, he told me.
Everyone does their own thing. That's fine.
I asked him, I go, you guys killing each other? He goes, no, we just put the gear on. We're not even really hitting. We're going over more. We're acting like we're in shorts, but they let there's a lot of kids who never played football before.
Well, yeah, and for that point, I do applaud.
Yeah.
There's a safety factor.
Yeah.
Because of the advent of 7-on-7, and it's everywhere. We went into a little scrimmage, 7-on-7 workout last week, and a couple of guys came away with a broken nose. And
yeah.
I mean, you're going to get whacked pretty good in 7-on-7. Why not helmet it up and put the gear on for safety? Now, that I can get with.
It was pretty neat to watch these guys work out. They had 88 coaches with the 80 players. It was a big deal.
There are some big-time programs in the great state of Utah, but they pale in comparison to California high school football. We'd whack them all over the field. Our all-stars of California versus Utah, probably number one all-star team in America. I'd probably give the nod to the state of Texas. I then would probably have to watch Florida and California battle.
They had numbers.
Those are the three top. Then you look at Ohio, Pennsylvania, Louisiana. But Utah's nice. No problem with Utah.
I compare the stadium to Buchanan with field turf. It was that nice. It was just the press box. I think it was like Fresno State. It was real. They spent some money in some of those high schools. But Here's my big thing. So we drove about an hour to Salt Lake City, did our thing. We kept going all the way to Idaho. We just drove.
Yeah.
Logan, all the way through. And that was about 4 hours both, and I was the driver. And
yeah.
I looked both ways. And I came back north, south, all that. And I did not see one time a cup on the ground on the freeway. I didn't see, and I asked these guys, what's going on? He goes, oh, we take pride. We don't litter here. I drove from the airport here to come in, and people are just throwing stuff out the window. We have a trash bin outside.
Yeah.
It's horrible. 41 and 99 are the ugliest freeways, highways I've ever seen, and we got to do a better job.
Yeah, well, the great social experiment for athletics and, of course, for just life, the great state of California. There's good, obviously, but there's a lot of reasons why this great state of California is slowly but surely going into the tubes. And it's that for that very thing. And that's why when the mass exodus started about 20 years ago of people fleeing California to other states for athletic purposes, for that quality of life, most people would see you arrive, because my family was a family that moved. I lived in 8 different states growing up through the ages of probably 4 to the time I went off to college. Everywhere we went, when our California license plates were shown to people through gas stations and all that, everyone gave us a little evil eye, and a couple actually spoke up and said, you're not moving here, are you? Because we don't want you to Californicate our great state. And I think the biggest thing is just cleanliness in the ability. When I drive around and I see, and I'm on the young high school student athletes at my school, at the other school I worked for, all the time about this idea that you finish something, you just throw the wrapper. When someone does that, so just carelessly throws something away and litters like that, that is tearing at the fabric of being what I consider a great character student athlete and just a student to an American in general. Littering is a sign. Trash on the freeways is a sign. You gave me an interesting stat, which we can talk about later when we go into, here's my beef for the, rant. But that is an unbelievable stat of the amount of money, the excess gas taxes that we pay for in California.
How much a day?
How in the world? We'll get to that later. This is not a political statement. Yeah. We're trying to wrap this into sports. But if you gave that level of money to the great world of high school and youth athletics in our state, we would have all kinds of great opportunities for all youngsters. But that money goes to roads, transportation, and other things, and I got to drive down a freeway, down a road with potholes everywhere. It's really shocking. We can talk about the numbers later, but I don't want to get down in that path right now. But I hear you.
Well, just do yourself a favor. As you're driving around right now, do the 30-second test. If you're driving on the freeway or road right now, you're listening to 940 ESPN, and you see trash on both sides, just imagine. I didn't see one. We looked. I go, guys, it's been 2 hours. I haven't seen anything on the side of the roads. And I'm talking downtown Salt Lake City where freeways are going everywhere. So, unbelievable. We got to do a better job in that. My little two-take last night, I just got to get this out because we had a little debate last night. And a football comparison for Robert O'Rourke, because he thinks he's a Spanish guy. It's Beto O'Rourke and the clown that he is. This would be like, okay, he lost in the Senate race. So to me, it's like you got cut off your high school football team, and then you decide, you know what, I'm going to go try out for the New England Patriots. Because that's what it is. Really? You didn't make the – he just cracks me. I'm sorry. That's my take. Let's go to sports.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Well, that debate and that's – a lot of athletes up on the stage last night, and no one knocked the gloves off and really got into it. So good luck with that.
Football-wise, what's the official day high school football
July 29th.
Start? Now, I keep hearing 21st or 22nd. Maybe Jim Critchlow is listening. He'll let me know the official day. I think it's earlier than that.
July 29th.
That's your date.
Well, it's on paperwork from my athletic director from the offices of the CIF.
So
July
is that
29th
a week later?
Is the date that you officially can get. Now, you can still be out on the field running around in the weight room getting guys in shape, but the first official date where you can begin your to hone your product after they've gone through the mandatory days of preparing to put on the gear, it goes on a cycle of like 2 days of practice, and you can introduce yourself to helmets, and you can introduce yourself to shoulder pads. By the time you finish that practice, but July 29th is where you get ready to officially begin the 2019 football campaign.
So what does that take? So explain to everybody. They all want to know now. Phone's blowing up. You got 2 weeks without helmets or 1 week?
No. You have a God, I hate to say something and be in error, and I'm sure Mr. Critchlow can correct it, but no, you have your acclimatization, I call it the assimilation of getting yourself ready to be fully geared up. And there's dates. It used to be you'd have to get 10 days of practice in before you fully unleash.
2 weeks.
Yeah, approximately. But then again, in those days, when it first started, two practices. Well, guess what? Practices are based on time spent on the field. So in the old days, when really two-a-days, what you called probably when you were a young hell week, that was 1 day equals two practices.
Yeah.
So in 1 week, you should be fully ready to go full blow, play football.
That's how it was.
Yeah, that's how it was. Now it's a little different because they only allow you so many hours a week to practice. You only get so many days in a week to have collision, contact, and that includes hitting a dummy bag or a sled. So the rules have changed, but I think for the most part, as I look back, I think the rules are good. Unfortunately, no one's trying to really follow them to the letter. I mean, you see that all the time. But the rules are in place to take care of job number one for all of us, and that's the safety of the student-athlete. That goes for all sports. And I think the CIF does a tremendous job of making sure, and the National Federation of High School Sports, NF, the National Federation, takes a great level of interest in making sure the game is safe, not just football, all sports. So, because when you and I played, I mean, we're talking about, you might as well just throw us into the new season of Game of Thrones, because it was killer beat, Southern California helmet. I wouldn't survive one game with that helmet on without probably massive head damage. That's how lightweight and flimsy it is compared to the stuff they lug around today.
Okay, now we have the far leftist media. You know how it is. They hate football.
Yeah, fake
they
news.
Hate sports.
Fake news.
And I want you to understand, because you're a coach, I don't see hitting anymore. So do you the old hitting drills? Are you teaching kids?
Well, first, remember, you're only allowed a day in that practice where you can actually have a moment of that kind of live contact. But there are so many things that we missed in the early days of football that now we have mandated proper teaching techniques that pretty much all coaches are pretty much aware of now. And you can tackle far better during the course of a season by just implementing the soft, non-contact version of where does your head go? Where does what near foot, near shoulder? What's your system? Is it the hawk and roll, rugby-style tackle? That's pretty much where everyone's gone. And now they've created this thing in the last few years, this rolling mechanism they call the donut. But it's essentially a foam donut that you roll, and it simulates tackling into a hip and a leg on an offensive player. I'm a big advocate for the less amount of time that I can actually cut my own player in half on a tackle during football practice, better for the game of football.
Well, email right here says he's got a son who's a freshman, has never played football before. How long is it going to take him to learn how to properly hit? Because I think a lot of parents say, well, Johnny, you've never played. You didn't play Pop Warner. Now you're going to go to the freshman.
Well, he's going to learn how to properly hit in one teaching clinic at his practice, and hopefully the coaches went to the clinics and were taught the way that I believe all high school coaches and youth coaches should be. I'd learned mine through the USAA, the Football Association, sponsored by the NFL, where it's a clinic. It's a 2 to 4 hour clinic where they teach you ground up, and it takes a day. The problem is now you have to practice that technique throughout the season, throughout the practices, to really ingrain the muscle memory it takes. Because when live bodies are actually moving at full speed, you know, the rule is, by everyone, that high school coaches raise their hand on this new technique of tackling. Wait, let me get this straight. You want me, instead of getting my head on the upfield side of the body as he's running towards the end zone, you want me to come in the rear side? He'll just break through that arm tackle, no problem. Yes, do. Well, the coach's mentality was always in those meetings, hey, wink, wink. At that point, just get him down all means possible. So the coaching technique goes out the window when the guy's scrambling for a touchdown, and you've got to get him to the ground with all means necessary. But the proper coaching technique is out there now. Everyone does preach it. So it doesn't take that long. It just makes sure your youngster has a coach and a staff that practices that technique. We like to do it on a basically on a day-to-day basis. We reinforce the tackling technique.
And I would guess, Matt, is and if you're listening, Pops, as well, when it's scrimmage time, because I know you could teach them all you want, but then you really find out what kind of player do you have when it's live bullets coming at
you. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly, Nick. That's what I call the Bill Bates, the bloody nose effect. If you have a child, son or daughter, because, boy, I'm coaching up some girls right now, and I'm getting to wonder if when the real gear goes on, they're as tough as any of the boys. But we'll see when the real gear goes on, because that's nerve. That's what I said. That's the playground Bill Bates. You talk to Bill Bates' mother, the great safety from the University of Tennessee. Everybody remembers him from the Dallas Cowboys, yeah. Number 40, roaming the safety position. But his mother said, oh, we had never had a question whether what was going to happen when he finally got his helmet and his gear, because in the playground, he was the one that we always had to go in and see the principal, because he was busy running his forehead into people at recess, the bloody nose. He caused and had more bloody noses in elementary school than the law allows. We pretty much knew that that guy was going to be someone that would stick his face, because that's the hardest thing to tackling now, is your face is getting closer to another moving object. What's the natural?
You're a live video game.
What's the natural instinct?
Shy away.
Shy away, yeah. Close your eyes, and get out of the way.
Yeah.
But the guy that can keep his eyes open like an attack animal, and then that keeps him in the right position to keep his head up, neck and body rigid and in a nice position, that makes for a great tackler. And you never know that until there's one guy breaking free, loose, free, and then there's another guy in a one-on-one tackling situation. Then you find out.
Before we take a break, I just want to let all you young parents out there, your kids are going to maybe play football, this is the safest time ever for football because coaches are teaching techniques now. I go to practice, there's no hitting like it used to be like the old days.
Oh, boy.
You don't take them to the ground. A lot of people don't even wear long pants or the football pants anymore. They're just wearing short helmets and shoulder pads. It's the greatest game in the world for your kids to make them men. To make them, it's just nothing like it. Let's take a break and like take your phone calls. 844-940-ESPN. Before we go, Al Medina is going to join us today. They got the 7th annual Evan Medina golf or basketball tournament out at Sanger, and Alvin and the Chipmunks will be here. And your guy,
yeah, Siriaco Dixon, tragic shot in the back. Edison, ex Edison High School track star, was going to go off to Morehouse College. We're going to talk to him a little bit about his recovery, how's he doing, in ways that our great fan base and listeners can help.
No question about it. We'll be right back. We're live here at the fabulous Fashion Furniture. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. Live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso Blackstone. They've been in business since 1960, Matt, and if they don't have it,
you don't need it.
Yeah, they have it all. And come over here to our great studio right here. They get some Popolo's pizza. You can shop around, bring some comfortable shoes in, because you're going to walk.
Yeah, you can talk World Cup soccer with Bobby, who also officiates and was a member of the U.S. the last Olympic soccer team. He's obviously one of the great soccer guys in our valley.
Good for him. Bobby is our guy. There's no question about it.
Played a little basketball at Clovis West, too.
Well,
still plays in the men's leagues all around and bounces and tries to pick up games.
Well, the girl, the pink fuzz head, I'm not a woman's
United Rapinoe?
I'm done. I hope they lose now. She's disrespected the United States, so I'm done with that. I hope they lose. I hope France takes them out. Why would you disrespect the United States?
Well, that's not her intention, once again going off into an area that you probably don't want to travel in right now.
I'm traveling.
Just embrace the fact that our women's team is the best in the world. It would be nice if our men could get it together, although in the Gold Cup, our men's club is, where are they at, Bobby, right now?
They got no chance.
Yeah, they're getting ready to potentially get into
We're talking men's
game.
Soccer. They got no chance. Hey, Bob Kidjani listening on the coast right now. So if it's 75 here, what is it over there, 55?
It could be, but I've got family friends right now at Avila Beach, and they said it's in the 70s, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, no question about it. That's beautiful over there.
But not quite as good as it is here inside the Palatial Fashion Furniture Studio. Lovely.
And guys, and if, the recliners, they got a lot of great sales now that through Father's Day, there's still some still on sale right now, so get on over here and take a look at them.
Well, they've got over 75,000 different items in this showroom, and at some point I'm going to ask the Pag Meter, the one and only, pick up on something other than just the recliners.
Well, because that's what I like. I'm sorry. I go to
Mike
Dupree.
What are you talking about? You've got a sectional sofa that you got out of Fashion nice. Furniture that's about 96 feet long. I don't see a recliner. I've been at your house. There's no recliner. Now it reclines.
Yeah.
But the solo recliner, it's the best selection in all of it, California. But there's so many other dining room setups and, of course, the little special details that really make your house come to life. Three-dimensional centerpieces for your countertops and tables.
You don't have to be an expert as well with the mattresses. You go to Mike Boo Boo Man Dupree next door.
Yeah.
He takes care of you. So the mattress, if you got a problem, oh, every morning I get up, my back hurts. Mike will take care of you over there. He'll get you the right mattress. They got it all here.
Yes, they do.
Everything.
And the finest sales staff.
They're so sweet.
They're so put together well around here. Because you keep seeing the same familiar faces. You and I have been in this business for over 10 years now together, and the same faces are still here. That's a sign of greatness.
They all have a great story to tell. Love that.
That's
Fashion Furniture.
Coach Daniel Birdie, the legendary Hall of Famer from Edison High School track and field, football, soccer, another soccer guy, comes into the studio.
Does he have anything besides a yellow shirt? I think that's...
If he does, then he's moonlighting somewhere that I've never been aware of.
I don't think he has a blue or...
He has a
look. You won't see a blue or a red one in his closet. But I just throw it out. I'm just going to
take it. Are you cussing at me right now?
Well, you don't have a...
I told the guys at S, you never see... Don't worry, don't worry, guys. I'll never be wearing purple.
Well, you got a... It's all you have.
Not anymore. No. I changed the colors of our football team. We're decidedly black. We got the black and the gray tints, as does our basketball program, our girls' soccer, boys' soccer. It's good luck. You got to get a little black and purple mixed in there.
Yeah, it'd be nice. And we're looking to have our second annual bowling tournament. Maybe I'll get a Madera South shirt this year. I don't know. Everyone else is giving me nice shirts, but I haven't got anything for Madera South. See, Danny's going to get me one for us unified.
Good. Well, my coaches say the same things, Coach. When are you going to get us our gear?
All right, back to let's talk a little bit football because since we started talking about, we got a lot of people who maybe first time ever playing football.
Yeah.
From 5th, 6th, 7th, even 9th grade, what would you recommend for the parents who maybe they've never played football before?
Okay.
I don't even know. What do you mean a mouthpiece? And go through it.
Well, that's always fun, by the way, because I've got so many great, funny stories of guys. You were probably like me and Bobby in our studio. We were all kind of the same. We picked up the sports thing when we were...
We didn't know.
There was no question what I was going to be doing. It was something with a ball, a bat, anything. I'm always... My parents. But I've sat with guys so in the locker room setting, growing up through junior high school, to even college football, where it was apparent as they're putting their gear and their thigh pads in the... They have no idea what they're doing. They've never experienced this system of how does the gear all work. So I have great memories of, come here, let me help you, okay? Look, first, it'll help you out a lot. Put the jersey over the shoulder pads before you start, because unless you've got a helper, you're not getting that outfit on. These are custom-fit, skin-tight uniforms that they put on you in the big college and pro game. So there is a learning curve, but what I would suggest to all parents, and I didn't do this with my own oldest son, who was ended up being a great track athlete at Buchanan, but he was interested in playing football, and I finally said, time for you to come on out and play some football.
How old was he?
He was a
12?
I want to say he was a 4th or 5th grader.
Oh, okay.
About 4th or 5th grade where I finally convinced him to... Now, he dabbled. I shouldn't say it. He dabbled in the elementary school stuff, you know, your tennis shoes on. I'm talking about the football, youth football, you and I coach.
The real football.
Full cleats. You're playing real...
There's no weight limit.
Yeah, full NFL. No Clovis Unified weight limits. We're going to play real football.
Yeah.
Well, we got ourselves together, and I thought it'd be safe for me to put him in front of a coach. Don't give out the names, please. Don't give out the names. But I'm going to put him in front of a coach that's really going to give him the real, true test of what being a football player is all about. And by the end of that football practice, first my ex-wife came to me and said, "How dare you?" What?
Well, she knew before you.
He hates it, and he wants to quit. I go, "He can't." No. But then I thought what I did to him. That was wrong, and I allowed him to say, okay, football's not for everybody. I get it. The point I'm making is this. For parents who are trying to put their sons or daughters into that sport for the first time, go to the practice. Before you just jump right in, full guns a-blazing into it, go to the practice. Check out the coaching staff. How do they interact? How do they coach? How do they train? Because there's a few still renegade coaches out there, and I'm not proud to say this. They're still out there, and they're doing head-bashing drills. They're going crazy with the stuff they do. And you've got to be certain that you're going to be comfortable with your coaching staff for your little one.
Okay, wait a minute. Okay.
Yeah.
Little Timmy comes home and goes, Mom, Dad, I don't want you at practice. No other parents are going there. Don't go.
It's been my overwhelming opinion. I've been in this business a long time.
Look at this. We get a shirt from Alvin and the Chipmunks.
That's awesome.
I get nothing from Adairs South. Just want to let you know.
Say it one more time. You'll get more than just nothing. I mean, we'll go to the next step because you're going personal with me. I'm not appreciating this.
All right.
You literally threw me off. I've about had it with you. Anyway.
You're about parents out.
No, my opinion is for the youngsters, I don't care if it's soccer, basketball, softball, whatever. When they're that age and they appreciate the little support group. You know, Mom drops you off,
fifth grade,
or Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not talking about the parent go up and start talking to the coach. Now, you're going to take care of my – no. What I'm talking about is just go watch the practice. Your son or daughter doesn't need to know what you're up to. You're just visualizing how they're going to treat your kid. And if what you see you like, it's green light, let's go. But you might see something because there's nothing worse than letting your kid get involved and then find out after week one that this is torture. And now your little one's out there on the field and you've got to do the one thing that parents and most people don't like doing. We're going to have to weasel out of this project. And how are we going to do that without having people look at us like we're quitters?
And it depends, parents.
Would you buy a car sight unseen?
No way.
Thank
but
you.
Well, what I'm
why
saying,
would you join
though,
a sport without knowing what's going
what
on?
What I'm saying, there's some parents who've never played football, maybe, for example.
Sure.
And got Timmy out there in full gear, and they don't even know if the chin strap. You ever see some of those thigh pads? Wait a minute.
Okay.
And they put them the wrong way, and
I
they point
you.
In,
yeah.
And all of a sudden they pinch in, and it's not feeling good.
Okay.
They
for
don't
the
know
parents,
if they were a
for the
athletic
parents
supporter.
That
they don't
know and are extremely naive to the whatever sport. Chapter 2 of my book. Go introduce yourself to the coach. May I have a moment with you, coach? And lay out all your concerns. And if the coach doesn't meet your concerns with a good positive vibe, then don't play. Same thing.
Sometimes,
would you take your son or daughter to the babysitter and say, hey, I heard good things. See you later. Bye-bye, kids. You're going to get to know the person.
Let's just hope it's not Gus who's just coming home. He's just been in the tire store all day putting on tires, and he doesn't know anything about gear because his son did it. He's an all-high school kid, and he's going to come out and help out his son, who's the star running back.
Yeah.
And you got little Timmy who's going, I just want to play. Because they don't know what they're doing. So that's a tough call. I'm just letting you know.
It's a memory that all of us have had. I had it. You had it.
But it's gonna
how does the thigh pad, does it go? We had, by the way, in my day, we had to wear jock straps. I'm noticing these kids that I've been coaching for the last 20 years. There's no jock
straps.
There's
nothing underneath.
It's just like, what are you wearing? Little boxers? Dude, you're not even supported down there.
It's Mr.
And then it happens during practice, and you go over and say, look, man, medic, help. Yeah. I try to tell you, you can't have little, flipping the twins running around down there. Without
Mr.
Any
Bojangles is going everywhere like that. You can't do it.
That's right.
No.
Yeah.
It's from the mouthpiece, trying to get in the hot water into your mouth.
Oh, that. Remember the first time you had to mold your own mouthpiece and out of the boiling water, your dad's reading the directions? No, they say.
Okay, you got 30 seconds. Go! It's the worst. But those are memories.
Memories.
Then your kids are coming over and they're all perfect. And you see little teeth marks in your.
Mom,
I don't have any teeth marks in mine. We got to go get another one.
Yep.
It's never much of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what?
Oh, it's classic.
Get Timmy away from the video games. It's the greatest thing. I don't care what sport. Get him in the sports.
That's right.
Right?
No, anything. And sports, so what sports? How about e-sports? Because that's what my youngest son, he's involved in, and I gave up. I said, okay, if you're going to be Fortnite, whatever you're all doing tonight, be the best you can be, because you might get paid at that thing one day, and I'm going to be laughing myself all
the
way.
You know what my neighbor does?
Yeah.
Big Mike, my cross-street neighbor, he's got his kids playing that.
Yeah.
The loser has to do 50 push-ups.
Okay.
So every time you lose, you got to do 50 push-ups. Now there's an incentive. Instead of just sitting there with his cherry Pepsi.
So is your old man neighbor's dad, is he like staying up? Because my kid's on that thing till 2. I'd wake up like, where is there commotion in the house? And he's in there playing in the middle of the morning.
I didn't talk time.
There's no way to police the push-up game, okay? And by the way, my son, God bless him, I love him, but he's past that stage now. He might be that guy that's going to sit on the couch and after he comes home from work and just Cheetos and Pepsis and that's who he is.
Well, you know, Jim Kritzler said that is coming.
Esports will be coming. The electronic gaming, the professional gaming
so
is already
school.
Here.
We'll be live.
Colleges
here.
Offer scholarships now.
Yeah, it'll be.
And we're
live
not talking about
the...
you know, Tehipity College. We're talking Arizona State's got a scholarship team that travels and plays video games.
Yeah, it's going to
boys
be
and girls
live. Matt and I live from the Sanger cafeteria today. It is going to be a good one. Reedley versus Sanger. Matt, what do you think?
Well, Sanger got that young recruit from the robotics team, and I heard he's pretty good with the toggle switch. Definitely will be a great support.
Reedley's favored by 3.5 points, though, Matt.
Like I just said, the new kid
the
from
new kid,
the Sanger robotics team, I heard he's pretty good.
But does he have a full family move, or does he have to sit out for 30 days?
Jim Kritzler cleared him yesterday. He's good to go. Because he'll have to monitor those athletes, too, by the way, because they're going to have to be sanctioned and legal.
Mr. Cardoza, Jim Kritzler, if you guys are listening, you got your work cut out when this sport happens. So, yeah, they're listening as we speak in Porterville. Porterville's going to be pretty good in that, too.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, let's take a break because Alvin and the Chipmunks is here. He's brought some Sanger Apaches with us. Saturday is one of the best tournaments of the year. It's summertime, but it's nothing like getting to Sanger with the food and watching. How many teams this year so far? 20 teams.
20 teams, the 7th annual.
We'll talk about it when we get back. Don't go anywhere. This slide right here at Fashion Furniture.
The Valley's local sports leader.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Where is he, Bobby? Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone. It's the Pag Meter. It's Matty J. Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone. See people walking around looking at all the furniture. You can walk around. Bring comfortable shoes, I've said, and make sure your wife has a GPS because you'll go, honey, what do you think of this? I love this tape. Honey, where'd you go? And you're lost. And all of a sudden they went one way, and it's like a maze in here.
Yeah, I always said if they moved the furniture out of here, you could have a great paintball tournament. You could have an indoor track meet, hockey arena, indoor soccer. This is a massive showroom.
Here's a guy who has a lot of furniture at home, Alvin and the Chipmunks in the house. Alvin Medina. Wait, let me put this on your head. We want people to hear you, Al. This is how we work. There we go. Say something.
It's still not on.
There we go.
Hey, Nick.
Al
Matt,
Medina
how are you guys
in the
doing?
House.
Great, great,
Mr.
Great,
Sanger
Mr.
Apache
yes.
himself.
7 years.
Seven years, yeah. And got the great shirt.
Bought you guys a shirt, yeah.
So we're talking 7 years. This is the 7th annual. Evan Medina, your son, passed away 7 years ago. Yeah. It's a memorial basketball tournament, and we do a great job. You can do a great job every year to remember the name.
20 teams. About 7 years ago, we have our end-of-the-year basketball pizza party, and I decided right then and there, I want to do something for my son, not only him, for the other referees that have passed away.
Yes.
And my referees came out and my sponsors and everything, and it's just been – we started with 10 teams. We're at 20.
You're turning them away now, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the gym's only so big.
Well, I only want to go one day. My referees come out. I can only ask them. This week is tough because there's a lot of stuff going on. So guys are going to be pulling double shifts, going to City College. And then I think Buchanan has a big baseball tournament going on.
This is priority, though. Yeah. Tell them.
Yeah.
They know that.
Yeah. But it's, a lot of the older guys, they, I remember Bob K. Janian.
Yep.
He's listening, by the way.
Yeah, he's listening. Yeah, he told me. He just called. And I remember... when Evan first came out as a referee, and I said, you know what, let's try him out at middle school. He goes, no, we're going to put him in high school. And he was his mentor. And after a couple of years, Bob said, you can't referee with him anymore. You got to let him go. And it was like he had 50 dads, tell Evan to pull up his pants, tell him to tuck his shirt in, tell him to do this. I said, I'm his dad. He is going to listen to me. You guys tell him. Evan, get over here. He played basketball. He was a three-sport athlete, played football, basketball, and baseball at Sanger High. He graduated on Friday. Saturday, I had him refereeing with me.
Nice.
And I remember Sierra, Mike Palacy, was coaching there at Sierra. And Evan would make a call and then look at me. Make a call and then look at me. And Mike said, quit looking at your dad and make your own call. Quit looking at your dad.
Yeah.
But he, I think he, if he had
he was
going to
be good, huh?
Yeah, he would have been doing college now.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good kid.
You can always tell by the good referees just from the get-go if they're going to be good.
Well, and the fact that Evan had an opportunity to, not only from your tutelage as a parent and, of course, in the officiating crew of the world of SJBOA and all that, but he had so many great mentors around. You mentioned Bobby Kay and all the rest of so many good men that he could go to and ask questions on. I think that's the greatest part, by the way. If you're just talking from the officials' world, I've always marveled at this, and when I get done coaching, I'd like to finish my last bit of movement.
I would love to see you being a referee.
No, I really do, because it's kind of parallels the kids who play. You've got some of your Sanger Apache basketball players here, but they have camaraderie. It's a team thing, and the officials have that same sense. It's the last moment where you could still hang on to that idea when the game is done. You and the officials get together and reward yourself with what a great time it was.
It would be an emotional tampon for you. You'd be, you're out of here. Remember 8 years ago? You're gone and you're gone. Matt, calm down. No, he remembers 8 years ago. He threw me out. And you'd be one of those.
Okay, you and I are having a tough time today, but let's move on.
Well,
Evan?
You know, what people fail to realize? Without the referees, there's no game.
That's right.
You know, I mean, they're
all got to get along.
You're this, you're that. Yeah, but, Evan, he would have been a really good referee.
Did he do just basketball?
No, he did, we did football.
Okay.
He did basketball and he did softball.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, I tried to get him into volleyball. I do volleyball. He wouldn't.
How tough is volleyball? I always want to know, because we go to a lot of volleyball games.
People ask me, which sport do you get the most tired in? And they think basketball. Volleyball.
Really?
You're there for 6 hours just standing.
Yeah, yeah.
By the time the varsity game, back, you're done.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, when I go and do baseball and softball, hurry up and throw the ball. What are you waiting for? Basketball.
But you got to have good eyes, though. Right? At the line,
well,
you know.
At my age, I can hear. I hear better than I see.
Yeah.
You know, so, but
is there a lot? And by the way, and Nick says that because every time we go into volleyball, we watched a lot of volleyball. Heck, my our boys team at our school went all the way through and won everything for their division.
Madera South.
And he would always be at the matches with me. Just look at the officials. What are they doing? And it was just kind of just a, you know, they just sit up there and here your ball. I mean, it wasn't. Yeah. He always makes fun of the volleyball.
There's not a lot of arguing either.
It's not that easy.
No, it's not.
But there's not a lot of arguing. You can't. Well he hit the net.
You know what they did, Nick? Is I've been doing it for about 10, 12 years ago. First couple of years they didn't have enough volleyball guys, so they asked us basketball guys. And back then, the coach could not talk to you.
Oh.
If he wanted to talk to you, captain, come over here.
Wow.
Okay, go back over there. So the coaches never bothered you. Then the sport went to all hell. They let the coaches stand up.
Mm-hmm.
Then the coaches started talking.
What's the big debate? Did he touch the net? Was it a block? What?
Doubles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but now with the way the game's played in the Olympics, and it's got to be really ugly.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
But getting back to the tournament.
We go off
the first year was 10 teams, and each team was invited for a specific person, a reason. Sanger, because he played there.
Yep.
Salma, Mike Palacy.
Yep.
Lamore, Joel. Fireball, I remember I went out to do a game between Dos Palos and Fireball, and a kid, Jim Wilkes, that played with Evan at Sanger, was coaching the varsity, and the players come out at the jump ball, and they come out and they tap me on my back and said, "We're playing for your son tonight."
Wow.
Yeah. I cried.
I'm crying now.
Yeah. Yeah. But then it was the old Brian song. They lost. So I at the end of the game, I went on the bus and say, "Hey, when you dedicate a win, you're supposed to win, not lose."
Yeah.
You know, but
We're talking about Al Medina. So, real
question.
Is there a team that's played besides Sanger 7 straight years? Selma?
Selma's been there.
Fireball, Kingsburg.
Fireball.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Every year we try to mix it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
But my question
we
is,
have big schools and small schools. And you know what? Those little schools, they like to play. Yeah. The Orange Coves like to play the Fresno Highs.
Yeah.
The Parliers like to play the Roosevelts. You know, they
look
try
at
to
that. IMG Academy's taking on Modern Day. That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask a question of now. In the original formation, the first annual game, is the committee and the people that you surrounded yourself to help, not only just the great high school Sanger High School and that basketball community, How hard was that to put that all together? I'm always curious to
know
the formation of the deal.
When I came at the pizza party and I told my referees, this is what I want to do for Evan.
Yeah.
They were there.
Right.
You know, I went to Sanger High. I said, Sanger, I want to do this for my son. We're there.
Yeah.
They take care of everything. My sponsors, you know, my sister, her law firm, my nieces, her law firm, San Joaquin Valley. So you guys help us with the radio spots and stuff like this. Without that, you know, I wouldn't be able to do it. You
know? And was there? I don't remember. You know, we were around in that first annual, but you've clearly come a long way. And the amount of teams, 20 basketball teams in now, and from a basketball, this is kind of a basketball question for some of the players involved in this, but this is that time of year though where teams are all wrapped up in summer basketball and moving around. So it's probably, the thing that strikes me is that Evan, your son, would be so proud that you created a forum for basketball when really this is what they do in the summer, looking for tournaments like this.
Well, I remember the first year. This is the only tournament that I know of where the coaches, players, the fans, and the referees get along with each other.
Yeah.
Have a good time.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll go do a game and, hey, ref, you're the one that throws that tournament. I said, yeah, you're going to have it again? I go, yeah. They enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's a fun deal. The coaches, it's just an enjoyable day. That's what I wanted to do when I started the tournament. I wanted to be, you know, where the kids really, really enjoy it.
So Alvin and the Chipmunks, if someone wants to be a part of a sponsor, how do they do it? Because I'm loving it. First String Sports involved, SGBOA. You've got, of course, ESPN, what we do for you. Matt Graney, I love him, from Maverick Printing out there. You guys seem great. How do they get involved?
You know, just call me, Al Medina. My phone number is 906-6979. And we're always looking for sponsors. And it's really, really a fun event.
You know,
the kids, the atmosphere, it's boys and girls, 10 boys, 10 girls. We got a DJ going on.
Was it always in the inception? Was it boys and girls from the very get-go?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah. I don't know of another tournament where there's boys and girls going on at the same time.
I'm liking the cheeseburgers at 350.
Yeah.
I mean, the food out there is awesome.
Nicolaias, you got to try it. You got to try a taco. You got to try the
tacos. I'll try a taco for sure, but look at the – you can get out there and eat, watch some great basketball.
Yeah.
Matt, food, he's there. Look at him. Yeah. What, you got food going?
We got three courts going on. They're 22-minute games.
Yeah.
People going back and forth. It's, you know, they take my whistle away usually and say, you know, I've been doing this 38 years, and I talked with a good friend of mine, Art Garza, and he said, Al, I'm like you, Nick. Why do you go talk to the coaches? Why do you talk to them? As soon as they throw it up, they're going to be on you.
Yeah.
You know? And sure enough, you know, so this is the time they tell me, take my whistle. Now go talk.
Yeah.
Go talk, kiss babies, and do your thing.
Well, great question for Matt. So if you're a coach, would you like a friendly referee or umpire?
No, I want a guy that's absolutely the most abrasive guy ever.
Of course, I want. What I'm saying is, you want a friendly during the game, and then he has a bad call. You know, you kind of lose that bonding right there.
No. Al's a great example. Al. Mike Parr, who doesn't really do much of the high school football stuff anymore, Don Smith, the guys I grew up with, Greg Lemon, you know, some of the names of that SJVOA, they're good friends. Mm-hmm. And it's easier to have an argument like I do with you on a day-to-day with a good friend than someone who is not friendly. It just makes things a lot more respectful and important. And most of the coaches, that's how they respond. But, yeah, you're looking for somebody that understands a little wisecrack on the sideline, doesn't take the game too seriously. That's what I look
for. So don't come in such a firm guy right from the get-go. Like, I'm running the show, coach. Just be quiet over there.
Well, what's happening is, like basketball, we have 155 guys. We don't have enough.
Yeah.
We don't have enough officials.
How many would you need?
Oh, God, 180, 190.
So
we have guys doing two middle school games.
Right.
And then going and doing two varsity games.
Well, how long have you been...
38 years.
Tell the young guys, maybe some college students are driving, they want to make some money.
You know,
What would you recommend?
Make some money, yeah.
But would it be fun for them?
Yeah, they're always going to deal with parents, but, you know, they're young. The women and our young officials, we got to take care of them. Partner protection, you know. I mean, I remember when Evan and I refereed and I had our guards and his son. And we were at Fresno High, and it was Reedley. And we hadn't known that there had been a big brawl
Oh.
At Fresno High. And so we come walking in. There's four cops there. Well, that game I threw out two coaches, three parents, a scorekeeper, and a fan. And nothing happened.
Was it because of language?
Just
everything.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
And nothing happened. And all of a sudden we leave. 5 minutes later, KJD and Bob's calling me, what the heck happened? I go, what do you mean? They just arrested six people and took them out of there. And I told him, well, my guy, we were Secret Service. Nobody got shot on my watch. So, yeah. But
well, you don't want to go anywhere. We got a lot to talk about in the 1 o'clock hour.
Yeah, we have Theriaco Dixon has just arrived in the studio with his family, and Coach Danny Alberti is here. We'll talk about his recovery from a tragic event that happened in our little town here in Fresno.
We'll come back, wrap it up with Alvin and the Chipmunks 7th Annual coming up Saturday. Don't go anywhere. We are live here. It's a Rice Show. Fashion Furniture, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
Chazere has the ball in. At the buzzer, he throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76-all, Chazere flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Chazere goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture El Paso Blackstone. This is your Rye Show for Thursday on a beautiful Thursday. Low 80s today, Matt. It's a Pag Meter, Matt Johnson. You could do anything out there.
Pretty much. Golf is in the air. I could feel it.
No question about it. But Fashion Furniture, it's 73 degrees inside here. You can shop. Bonnie's making cookies. Look at fresh out of the oven. Look at Bonnie working the cookies today. We got Popolo's Pizza. Thanks to Bobby Boy bringing it on over for us. He's already had one, so that means we got three pizzas left. So get on over here before they leave, because Bobby can eat, Matt.
Bobby went vegetarian today. I'm proud of him.
Oh.
He went to vegetarian and pizza.
My wife would be proud. The 7th annual Evan Medina basketball tournament happening this Saturday. And we got some Sanger Apaches in the house, Matt.
Yes, we do.
Let's start with on the girls' Sanger Apache side. The radio world, introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Anna. I am playing on the varsity team for Sanger High School. I'm a post player, so yeah.
Good shooter.
Well, yeah. She's in the post for a reason. She's good, good underneath the basket, good in the layup area.
Who's your favorite player to watch?
I really don't have a favorite.
I like that. Yeah. Anna's her favorite. She likes to. I want to be better every day.
Yeah.
So how good is the team going to be this year?
I really do think we get far this year. I'm actually really proud how far we've gone to, and we're doing really good, actually. Yeah.
Anna, who's the rival? And that team shows up in the gym. You cannot lose to. Who is it?
I would have to say Memorial. Yeah. So hopefully we can get them this year coming up.
They could. It could happen. They could be D1.
Yeah.
I'm hearing we had Corey Fisher on.
That's right.
They might be moving to D1. So, Anna, good job.
Now, Anna, in the summertime, give us your schedule. Like, give me an itinerary, a typical day in the life of a Sanger Apache in the girls' basketball team.
So, we have to, I get up at 5 in the morning. Practice starts at 6. We get up right on it right away. Some of us have summer school, so we have to, practice, put it all. Give it in the court the whole time, so, yeah.
And then off to summer school. How about the academic side in Sanger? What's your favorite subject or a variety of subjects?
Favorite subject would have to be history.
Okay.
Yeah, so math, English, not my thing.
So the history of Sanger basketball, you're up to date? No, I don't know. just
and did you re- just... did you understand the percentage of our gross domestic product where we're at right now?
I'm just getting in.
Okay, forget that, I guess. Okay.
And a great job. We'll look
Aaron,
forward to seeing
you
Saturday.
Congratulations. Yeah. We'll see you Saturday.
Yeah, let's bring in. We got a sophomore in the house. Oh, what? Okay.
Too late.
Sorry. All right.
That's it. Good.
Introduce everyone.
Hi, I'm Elise. I'm gonna be a sophomore. I'm a point guard. I'm gonna be on varsity, but I'm not a good shooter.
Okay. But how does Anna help? You're the sophomore. Is she helping you at all?
Yeah. When I first came, she was one of like my mentors. I could follow her.
Good. And just being a freshman, now you're going into your sophomore year. How did your freshman season go? Did you start to feel like you're comfortable? Were you constantly just, everything's too fast. I can't think.
The first game, I was like that.
Yeah,
but then I got more comfortable.
Yeah, I remember I was a freshman. They were checking me in at the scorer's table, and I never checked, and I just ran in. I still had my sweatsuit on, too. And the coach, stop. Oh, get over here. You need to check in. I go, you told me to go in. You need to check in first. You ever had any of those funny stories where you just lost your mind for a minute?
No.
Okay. Good.
Is there a lot of trash talking going on in girls' basketball?
Not as much, but sometimes.
Like not as much as what? Referring to what? Were you a trash talker in eighth grade? Junior high, there's more talking?
Like, what are you doing, Elise? Like, nice ponytail. That's what you're bringing to our gym? That's what you got? Come on, you're going to be better than that.
No, sometimes we just clap, like, in their face.
Where'd you get those shoes at a swap meet? Come on. I need better than that. Those are high tops? What do we got? Sorry, Matt.
Okay. Good. How about defense now? Are you a real good check, hand checked? Are you physical or do you just?
I play physical.
Physical. Good. You're on the floor getting loose balls. You're that scrapper.
Yeah.
Scrapper. Very good. Very good. Oh, yeah, good. Elbow to the nose. You ever had one of those shots to anybody?
Yes.
Of course you have. Yeah, your coach back there letting us all know.
Let's bring him up right now. Come on, let's talk about the seventh. Good job, Elise. See, first time interview. I could forget. Okay, it's my job to take. Coach, welcome in. Explain. Help tell everybody who you are.
Third-year coach, Dave Campbell. Been at Sanger 16, 17 years now. Been coaching there for almost 20.
So how from 20 years ago to now, how much has the girls' basketball program grown?
It was pretty established. Girls basketball has been one of the more established programs. It took a little dip for a couple years, but it's starting to get back to where it was. But it's been a pretty solid program for many years.
So are you starting with like the little girls in the fourth, fifth grade?
Yeah, we're
future Apaches coming in.
Yes, that's been the biggest key since I started is to try and get that AAU program, the little Apaches and that stuff going because that's how you build our program.
And I'm sure they've seen now Elise is here. She's saying, I get to play after watching these girls forever. And Anna's been a good role model for
us. Yes.
That's beautiful. Well, so Saturday, tell us about what do you get out of this one? It's a 22-minute game. How does it work for you?
Well, it gives us an opportunity to get more games in. It gives us an opportunity to be home. We're not home a lot, so that's, you know, good for the girls that they get to be in their own backyard. They don't have to, you know, travel at all hours of the morning to go someplace. You know, they can get up, get to a game. You know, it's nice to be there under our own S and our own, you know, logo for the Apache Arrowhead. And the nice thing about it too, it's quick. You get a game in, you get a new person, you get a game in, you get a new person, and it's competitive enough, but we're having fun at the same time.
Beautiful.
So I didn't even think to ask Al Medina on this, who started all this 7 years ago. Now this is just a single. Everyone's guaranteed how many games?
Four.
You're guaranteed four games.
Yeah, and then there'll be one championship game on the boys and girls side.
Okay, so it's not a single elimination. Everyone kind of just moves around.
So the 10 teams broken up into 2-5 group. They play round robin.
Yep.
And then there's a point system. Top from each side will play each other at the end of the day.
Very nice.
Very good.
Looking forward to Saturday to see the Sanger Apaches, what they're going to look like this year. At least, Anna, coach, good job. Let's bring up some of the guys that are in the house as well. And we know the Sanger Apaches, Matt.
Yes, we're going to talk about you after Bobby's got it all figured out right now.
The basketball team is on the move. They're from, I'd say, 5 years ago on, Sanger's now a player. They can hang with anybody in the CMAC and even the Valley. So let's introduce yourself now.
Oh, I'm Luke, and I'm going to be a junior.
Okay. Tell us about the team and how you're going to be this year.
Well, our team's we're going to be really good this year, and we're just working really hard right now.
So what do you play, Luke? Are you a forward, small forward, guard? Or
I'm a point guard.
Point guard? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're the guy that kind of sets the tempo and sets the pace. And are you a fast-charging, up-and-down-the-court type style?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much, I think, Nick, what a lot of the kids really are into now is running, a lot of pressure.
Uh-huh.
Now, are you a shooter or are you just an assist guy?
Yeah, I can just shoot at it.
Okay, good.
Pass, yeah.
Who can't shoot anymore?
So Steph Curry's your guy?
Well, I like to watch him. Yeah.
Who is your guy? Who's your number one, the guy that's the posters on your wall in the NBA?
LeBron James.
LeBron. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good choice. Laker.
You're going to be physical like LeBron then.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, go ahead and say all your negatives about LeBron now that we have him in.
No, I like
respond.
That.
He's
like
been
it.
On LeBron for the last 4 years. He doesn't like LeBron. He's not a fan.
Man.
He's not a defense. He's always talking LeBron.
Mm.
But I happen to think that the Lakers with the acquisition now, you think they're looking good for a chance at a run?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right on. Okay. Well, thank you for coming in, Luke. Okay.
Let's go. I'll get it. Let's bring in the next Apache.
Who
doesn't have the Apache colors on.
No, it's Cam Reddish from Duke University. He's coming in the building. R.J. Barrett.
All right. Introduce everyone to the world.
I'm Jonathan Dillon, class of 2022.
Nice.
Going to be a sophomore.
And how tall are you right now?
6'5".
6'5". Doctor think maybe 6'9", by the time you're done?
Yeah, probably.
Nice.
I don't want anyone to take this wrong. This is just flat out a factual great statement to be made for you, your family, and everyone else. You're wearing the Duke get up here. Dude, you're just a sophomore?
Yeah.
Another one up for our ESPN spokesperson of the year. I can just feel the love. Look at the bright eyes.
Well,
absolutely brilliant.
You know what we like about this, man?
What a communicator.
You're going to have to learn how to interview, and you're doing a great job so far.
Yeah.
Because the higher you go on, you're going to be interviewed all the time.
Forward, center, what?
Small forward.
Yeah, because we met Luke, the point guard. Yeah, well, in all fairness, you act like a point guard. This guy acts like a guy that's absolutely, you're a general.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Pack me to early rankings. I kind of have Sanger up there right now. Just
yeah.
No doubt.
But anyway, yeah, so what's your part of your game that you're really, what your best part and what do you need to work on?
I'm just going by everyone, and I just got to work on shooting. I can do everything else.
Yeah, yeah. That's for you.
Shooting's huge. What range are you talking about? 15 feet in? 3-point?
I could do mid-range, but I just got to work on my 3-point shot.
Just keep working. That's what's beautiful about it.
Just don't shoot it out there too often or you're going to hear the wrath of the pag meter. Because guys who are over 6'3", if they're shooting outside, why doesn't he learn to get his back to the basket?
No, we had a guy last year, 6'11". He was a 3-point. He thought he was Kevin Garnett.
Garnett. Yeah.
Remember?
Actually, Durant. But Garnett was more.
Durant.
Kevin
sorry.
Durant. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Kevin Durant. But that's what he thought he was until the coach moved him in, and all of a sudden they made it to the semifinals.
Well, good for you. Good for you. And tell me, okay, give a shout out. Now you're just going into your sophomore year now. Freshman year at Sanger. What was your favorite teacher? Give a little hello to. Might be listening in from Sanger.
My favorite teacher is probably my weight room teacher, Coach Workwoodine.
Okay, you're no longer a Duke Blue Devil. He went weight room on us. Good job.
We thought maybe you'd get an extra grade from someone. Maybe this would be a good time to say,
yeah,
you know.
Because at my school, if you're in the weight room in the athletic PE portion, if you just show up and work, you're getting an A.
Maybe Mr. Clarence out there, might get an A now. I just mentioned him. It's a good time right now. Give him a shout out. He doesn't have his report. He doesn't know he's going to have this year yet, right?
He had a freshman year, and there was something.
What are you going to yell at him
favorite
for?
Subject?
Math.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
At least you didn't say weightlifting. That's good. Thank you so much. Next, Sanger Apache. You going to work the button or are you just going to let it? Yeah. Good. Almost, Bobby.
All right. Welcome in. Introduce yourself.
I'm Joseph LeBell. I'm also a point guard like Luke. And I'm going to be a senior this year.
Nice.
Team leader.
Yeah.
You got to teach these young guys, right? The ropes of Sanger Apache.
Joseph, how many guys graduated off the team? And you got a lot of good returners?
For returners, I think we had about 4, but we lost a lot of seniors last year for sure.
Yeah.
A lot of like crucial seniors, like our main scorers.
But young stars coming in.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. For sure. I can tell right now, Singer's going to be a CMAC challenger.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as they say at Clovis West girls basketball team, the coach, actually one of our players in one of our interviews said something that, you know, tradition never graduates. And at Sanger, you're building a basketball tradition. They've been there solid now. kind of like the girls' program. You got a tradition. So they never graduate. You guys just reload and get ready to go. Mm-hmm. So, hey, great job.
So Anna and Elise both said when Memorial comes in, they turn the heater on in the locker room just to try to heat them out. Who's your team that you want to just beat more than anybody?
Madera, for sure.
Madera?
Yeah. We took a pretty bad loss to them in a Fresno Pacific tournament, which is pretty surprising because we definitely should have beat them.
That Madera gym's pretty cool, huh, that old style?
Yeah, it's like really small.
Yeah, that's a throwback gym.
It's fun to play in.
Yeah, it is. I can see that. Yeah, definitely.
So what do you got? What's the Sanger Apaches have to do this year to compete in the CMAC and maybe get back to Cellin Arena?
Defense is probably the main thing because I think offensively we're pretty good this year.
Yeah.
We can score. We have really good transition. But our off-the-ball defense is all right, but it could be a lot better.
Do you all get along on and off the floor?
Yeah, for
That's
sure.
Huge.
Yeah, we have a lot of team chemistry. And the tournaments that we've been going to have really, like, helped with that.
Good. See, this is a good little team leader right now. I love that. I can tell, senior coming in. How much has it you have improved now? Just being, forget about basketball, just being that leader now from sophomore all the way to senior.
A lot, yeah. And it's going to help with, like, future stuff, too.
Definitely. And relationships to your teammates is very important because if you're all working hard, there's plenty of basketballs to go around. Everyone's going to get their opportunity.
Yeah.
I've noticed that about your program in the last few years that we've really started watching the rise of Sanger basketball is everyone has a chance to contribute.
Yeah.
Now, we can't forecast whether they're showing up to practice late or doing things that lose playing time, but typically on game day, it seems like you've got a pretty deep bench where everyone gets an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we've been going 5-in, 5-out
for the last couple
tournaments.
Okay, good stuff, man.
Okay, 2 years ago, Cellin Arena against Emmanuel. Halftime, you got the lead. What happened in that second half?
They came out in a half-court 3-2 zone.
You weren't ready.
We weren't ready for that. For sure.
Yeah.
And their pressure was really good. They had a really long guys in the front to tip passes.
Yeah.
And some guys were trying to do it by themselves for a little bit. And, that's probably what happened.
When you talk about halftime adjustments, that was the greatest adjustment I've ever seen because it was a whole other game.
Yeah.
And so, see, Bobby knows all about that Cellin Arena. He lost a tough one, too.
How about this thought? How about this idea? Could you leave him on a good memory?
Well, I am going to leave him on a good memory. I think they're going to be back to Cellin Arena.
All right. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Back to Cellin Arena.
See what
Arena.
I got to deal with, Anna?
Yeah. Good.
This
do your
is what
thing.
I deal
That's
with
good.
Over here. You know, Donnie Downer. That's what we deal with. Well, guys, we're going to see you Saturday, the Evan Medina 7th Annual. And I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a good day of basketball. Hopefully the weather's nice. There'll be air conditioning in the gym. Anna, keep the heater off. All right, let's take a break, come back, and we'll talk about...
Yeah, Cereal Dixon, and we'll have a nice time in talking about a story that needs to be told.
We'll be right back, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back, live right here at Fashion Furniture. It's a busy day here at Fashion Furniture. The place is rocking and rolling. The Pag Meter, Matty J. This is what makes the Rice Show fun.
It really is, and it's an episode this week of growth and inspiration past tragic events. You know, Al lost his son Evan Medina, Evan Shoot Medina, and he's formed a tournament to kind of bring light to a lot of different aspects of his son's life. And it turned into something that has turned into a 7th annual. The officials are behind it. That town is behind it. The school and everyone supports it. And our ESPN radio, we support the tournament as we do the Jesse Lujan Classic. And I got to thinking, Nick, my good friend Danny Alberti called me a while ago. It was a year and a half ago, basically. And I'd kind of heard some reports from my Edison Westside community and something had happened to it. An absolute, and I mean this sincerely, you know, you come across as a coach a lot of great young student athletes, happy, friendly, not a knucklehead kids, you know, that you just always, you hope the best, but you're never shocked or afraid to admit to them at any time that, dude, if you continue this life, man, something bad's going to happen to you. And I don't want to go retrace those memories, but a lot of bad things have happened. But when things happen bad to a great brother like DeAndre Day-Day Howard, who was one of the great student athletes to come out
all-time
of
great.
Edison and nothing but the best. He was not ever someone you really had to worry about, but he always concerned yourself. When I heard this story, which we're going to introduce here in a minute, Cereal Dixon, who I met when he was a young kid, and he was a nationally ranked sprinter coming up and played football too. And fast, quick, you know, the kind of guy in a phone booth, it was hard to get a hand on him. He was that kind of a talented athlete. And I was just looking forward to working in football and in track and field, obviously, with a great talent like Ciriaco Dixon. And then you meet the kid, and he comes to high school, and you realize, wow, he's a student. He doesn't have a problem with me being on him all the time about going to class and getting grades and doing the things necessary just to be eligible. And then the picture starts to get clear that there's a young man you don't have to worry about. He's going to be one of the good ones. And, of course, Danny, I leave, but Danny and the guys at Edison continue to work. And Ciriaco is a 100-meter specialist, 200-meter, 4x1, opening leg on the relay team, fast. Opportunities to go to college, Morehouse College, one of the great universities in America. And then that call came, and I thought, what, Ciriaco, what? And I heard the news that he was shot in the back, and there's a chance he might not ever walk again. And you start to just, you know, you go through the pain and the emotions that we all do. And I'm going into fast-forward now mode this year's track season. I coach track and field, too, and talked with Danny, and Danny was saying, hey, Ciriaco might come to this track meeting. So I wanted to make sure that somehow – when a family goes through that kind of a situation, the community of athletes, the community of businesses, they need to be there to help. Sometimes we get lost in translation on someone gets shot and we think, yeah, he was gangbanging, he's a bad kid, he was doing this, he was doing that, and I'll try to help, but man, I try to tell that kid not to, and you kind of lose the picture a little bit.
This was a fluky deal during Christmas, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And with Ciriaco Dixon, we never lost that. But it just dawned on me, what have I really done in my athletic career and what we do on radio, Nick and I? And I saw Ciriaco at that track meet, and then I talked to a friend who's worked with him in rehab and all that, and I felt like this would be a great opportunity to introduce, to reintroduce to the Valley one of the great athletes, one of the great young men of our Valley, Ciriaco Dixon. Welcome to the show.
Yes, sir.
I know that was a long-winded opening, but I had to get that out.
Yes, it's a blessing to be here and everything. It's like being a track star, being a real athletic and going somewhere and getting good grades in school and, you know, not focusing on the bad stuff and just doing your own thing and something bad happen. I think it just send you to a different pathway of going somewhere else and having different plans for you, you know?
Yeah.
So I look at it as I'm going to walk again, and when I walk again, I'm going to help somebody else. And to everybody that's in a wheelchair, I know y'all struggling and going through it, and, you know, it's hard times. Just keep your head up, and, you know, greater things will come. So I feel like anybody can walk again, you know, and will walk again as long as they keep that good path and that good mind, that good session, because being in this situation is just you'll feel down and, you know, you'll feel like no one is there for you. But once you got that mindset, then nothing can, you know, overtake you.
Well, Ciriaco, if you don't mind, let's go back about a year and 6 months ago.
Right.
You're at a party. Lots of people apparently were there. Okay, and was there some commotion at the party where there was some commotion? Nothing.
Just walking to the car and then hear gunshots.
Yeah.
And then I turned around and then fire, you know, is coming my way. So it's like if I was walking with the group who I am in, we all getting shot at, and so I'm getting shot at. So it's like they shooting at me.
Yeah.
And so I start running, and then it's like, now my life has changed once I'm hit, because I know I'm hit. So it's like my life has changed, like, over what, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like,
It's
just a different pathway.
Ciriaco, did they catch anybody?
Yes.
Okay.
They did.
So that's good news.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Okay, so now you, and I'm going to pass the headset over, not just yet, but, to Mom. So now you're obviously rushed to the hospital. It's a critical situation.
Right.
To the best of your recollection, did you know right away, or how did the doctors announce to you? Now, Mom's here with us, too. Was it right away you knew something was wrong, or did you feel, what did you feel at the hospital, in the hospital room?
I felt like I needed to get out of that bed and go to practice,
because
I had an Australia meet that same week.
Right.
And I need to go there.
Yeah.
I didn't feel paralyzed or nothing. When a doctor came in and told me that I was going to be paralyzed,
yeah,
I knew that he was alive.
Yeah.
I'm just hurt.
At Mom, and this is probably the hardest part as a parent, is you go back to that, and let's just go to the rush to the hospital and all that. How did you? It takes days, weeks, years, but you obviously had to get your hands and wrapped around the idea. This is going to change things a little bit, so we got to move forward.
Yes.
Take us through that and what's led you to this moment to try to continue for the recovery.
Well, when it happened, I was fearless.
Yeah.
Like any mom would be.
Yeah.
Knowing that, you know, how you raise your kid. You raise your kid to be an outstanding, outgoing young person.
Right.
Tell my sons to do the right thing, to have respect for people's.
Yeah.
And then something like this to take place, like, I was just devastated.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I know at the end of the rainbow, it is life.
That's right.
And we just have to continue to push with his rehabilitation and continue to move on.
Yeah.
Move forward.
And Siriaco, the thing for me as a coach, as an ex-professional athlete, too, this goes without saying.
Right.
You are an athlete.
Yes, sir.
And when you lose the ability, and not you were just an athlete, but an outstanding sprinting, running athlete, do you lay in bed sometimes at night and kind of relive getting into the starting blocks and feel that as part of your inspiration to get back on your feet?
Yes. And even when I'm doing my therapy, I can feel me running. I think of a race.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I got to catch that guy, or I got to make this type of time, or PR, you know?
Yeah.
And it'll make me push harder.
Yep.
So it's always just find something to catch on to, you know, to get you ahead in life.
Right on. Well said. Now, to the stuff that is more than just valuable to talk about. To me, it's the lifeblood of the country we live in today.
Right.
We have to think about the cost, the fiscal cost, to give you the proper treatment and give you the proper care to help in your recovery. And clearly that costs money.
Yeah.
And I know that you've started a GoFundMe account. And the teacher, great one of my all-timers, Chris Finley.
Yes.
And just looking at GoFundMe as I did my research and kind of got this thing going, like I've been neglecting. I've got to get into this. Chris Finley helped set this up, the GoFundMe.
Yes, he has helped me set up a first GoFundMe.
Yep.
And then I have made another one.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, this is going all towards my therapy.
Yeah.
And it's like the program is high, so me and my mom trying, and then, you know, the GoFundMe, the two GoFundMes is they helping out my program. And so this GoFundMe that I just made is boosting it up.
Yeah. And like I said, all of our listeners and those who have followed the Rise on ESPN and what we do in the local high school scene, that link to Siriaco Dixon will be on the PagMeter Twitter. We'll put it out on everything that we have to gain some more attention. And I'm just saying, and PagMeter, what we're saying from our platform is that there's a lot of struggle and tragedy that happened. There's so much that we can't always help as much as we'd like. But when I'm going to dig in with my best friend, the PagMeter, and I, we're doing it for someone that we know is righteous in their conviction as a youngster growing up. And these senseless acts of violence happen. And when it happens to those who are, you know, in the right. And that's not to condone behavior when it's too gangbangers going at one another, one gets the short end of the straw and gets it hit and all that. But it kind of reminds me very similar, and I know Coach Alberti's probably talked to you about this, but I have a friend, he's a USC Trojan, Prashawn Nellum, who's a Long Beach Poly state champion, 100-meter, 200-meter, went to USC on a track scholarship, and in his second year at USC, he got cut down right across the kneecaps several times, and they said he'd never run again. He ended up making the Olympic team in the 4x4 relay, and they won a gold medal for the United States. But another great guy. So I could certainly sympathize. We're going to put this out, Siriaco. We're going to continue to push to get more money in that account so you can get the care that's, you know, the best that you can get.
Yes.
And then you will continue your message that you've always had. And that's the thing. People, you know, we see each other out on the street. And it's hard, you know. The kid's, you know, he's in his wheelchair.
Right.
But I think I got over that hump over time with some of the stuff I've had to go through, personal tragedies and family and all that. You're still the same Siriaco. So when you see Siriaco, you can feel bad and feel sorry, but he's still one of our guys. Right. He still needs the hugs and the support. And the best thing we can do right now is to afford you the opportunity to have the best care given. So that's Siriaco Dixon GoFundMe page. I gave the link to PagMeter. And he's got a lot of followers, as do all of our friendship circles.
Right.
And we're going to hope that this continues to go. And, of course, you and I, yeah, and Mom, we'll continue to check in, because I'll see you around the track meets and all that. Mm-hmm. And we wish you the best, because I know you're going to recover from this and you're going to get up and continue to keep spreading that message to,
yes,
the young,
sir,
men and women out there that need your kind of emotional support, mm-hmm, with the struggles they go through.
Yes, sir.
Mom, and Siriaco, I'm feeling very good.
Yes.
That we had a chance, you and I, to rekindle our friendship from the days when I was at Edison High School. We wish you the best. We're going to be in touch. That's Siriaco Dixon. GoFundMe. It'll be on, the link is already up on PagMeter's site. Let's continue to push forward and help all the youngsters out there, yes, to help in their recovery. Thank you, Siriaco,
yes,
Dixon.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank,
yes,
you, Mom. All right.
Thank you.
We'll be back. You're listening to 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. Live right here at Fashion Furniture El Paso. Blackstone, it's the Pag Meter. Along
what did you
with
drop?
Matt
Your
Drust.
Phone?
My phone, yeah,
your drink,
and everything.
Everything else?
This is the Rice Show Emotional Thursday.
It is. It is very emotional, and... You know, like we said, we just had, you know, the Evan Shoot Medina in the 7th annual tournament for his son. Of course, we're honoring Siriaco Dixon, which is kind of funny, too, because had it been different circumstances, Siriaco would have been on with us a year or two ago, coming off of his Valley running state where he's going to go to school and run, and that didn't work out. So that, to me, is what makes it more emotional as a track guy. But... clearly, you just heard Siriaco Dixon. I don't know. I don't know how. I honestly, I don't know if I'd have a strength of a young guy like that. And he is battling and continue to move forward. And you hear the cliche a lot, like, well, you know, life must, we got to go. But this is someone that's living it. And until you've actually got strapped down and you're in the chair, you can't ever, oh, I would just fight. No, the emotions that a young man like that in the family, the mom and the kid and the brothers and the family members, have to go through, that's not just one stupid act like that, and it affects an entire, not just Siriaco and his family, it affects the Pag Meter, it affects me, it affects everybody that I'm in touch with. It's just crazy, but also a blessing that Siriaco Dixon is still breathing and he has fight in him, and we just need to get to that account and try to build that up where he can get the care needed to get himself on his feet.
I don't even have a doubt in my mind he's going to be running before too long, but let's throw this out. Siriaco Dixon track tournament. Let's throw it out there. I think we can get some sponsors, and every year you're out there with the teams, you're doing your stuff. How about that idea? Raise money that way as well.
Yeah. Well, I'd call it a Siriaco Dixon Invitational. You could call it a tournament.
Well, I mean,
but
it's okay.
Then everybody in the track world would say, these guys are losing their minds. But, yes, the Siriaco Dixon.
See what I have to put up with, guys?
First and Invitational.
He attacks me like a
relays.
Piranha. Like a piranha.
Yeah. And you know what?
Yeah. I like the idea. Don't
well,
you?
My stadium's just getting finished and built.
Yeah.
And we're going to be inaugurating that against Wasco. But there's a full-on surface track, and we're looking to link our first, because we're going to have an annual track meet at our place, and to link it to Siriaco Dixon, boy, I think you're onto something. Really, that's crazy. This is meant
huge.
To be.
And we get some sponsors out of the deal.
Yes.
We'll have a big day.
Why not?
We'll be out there. We can broadcast our track.
And then we can go to Bethune.
Down the stretch they come.
We can go to Bethune, and we can have you'll be part of it, the base running contest.
Make a whole week out of it. Yeah, we could do a softball tournament.
Sure,
baseball,
Uncle, even still,
bowling.
God bless you, even in your predicament right now, there's somebody in this room that you could still run circles around in your chair, and it's the Pag Meter.
Yep.
He is slower than molasses in January, I can guarantee you that.
I can't deny it.
Yes.
Well,
good ideas.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
We can see it now. Here he comes, Siriaco Dixon down the stretch. He's by 2 1/4 lengths on the outside. Here comes Ridgeview. You know, we could do that. We can announce the track on the radio. Yeah. You give me the color after that play?
Yeah.
After the run? We might be on to something. Wait, hold on, Peg Meter. We're going to the shot put area. You know, we go
well,
over there.
Well, it would be updates. That's updates. The only, by the way, unless it's televised, there's never been a track radio broadcast. It's on television.
Paul Leffler did wrestling. That's about the same thing. Oh, he's got him down the elbow. He flipped him over. His belly's on the ground now. That's tough to do, too.
Radio does not translate to, you're right, but track and field, wrestling.
Running, you could still in the lead.
You could.
On the 440 relay.
You could, but it's.
North. Here comes Clovis North.
Well,
it's,
No. I do radio with you already for the track meets, the Masters, sectional.
We could do it.
But it's just updates. Now let's go to Matt. And, well, yeah, Budwig just won the discus. It was 180 feet,
whatever.
It'd
be like, okay, here it goes, Budwig. She's down. Head down to the ground. She's spinning. She rolled. But, oh, it looks good. It's 29-7. Oh, we could do it.
29-7, Jocelyn Budwig, 29-7, anything? Oh, it's definitely going to be an O because something bad just happened because she throws a lot further than that.
Yeah, I'm just throwing, hey.
It works.
Okay.
This is what,
you and I did volleyball once. You had no idea
what
we were
doing. Sir Rocco's family's looking at us. This is what we do, by the way. This is exactly what we do. We come to the show. We have nothing. We have nothing to talk about. We invent stuff, and then we just make it happen. It's amazing.
This is why you and I do what we do. Because
that's it.
If we had we love guests. Don't get me wrong. You were awesome. Alvin and the Chipmunks was awesome. We like to have maybe two.
Two.
Makes our whole show.
That's right.
We have a lot to say.
Yes.
If you have a guest every 10 minutes, it's just, you know, it's more entertaining, you know, interviewing Matt Johnson.
Exactly.
And people, if they don't like Matt Johnson, they're turning their station. So.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly. They used to like me. Now I've hung out with you so long, I've lost my likability.
Yeah, you're more hated than I am, which I really kind of like.
There you go.
Used to just be me. Now it's like, hey, you don't like Matt either? Yeah, he's the worst
fan. Can I give you a stat that you came up with that is phenomenal, okay? California uses 50 million gallons of gas a day. California. Okay?
Well, that's a lot of people getting gas, yeah.
Yeah, and it... 75 cents per gallon. That's $37.5 million a day in income. Does that sound right?
Well, think about it. If I fill my gas tank up twice a week, 24 gallons.
So 50 million gallons of gas are used a day in the great state of California. No one drives more in the state of California than the people that
and
drive.
And it's expensive.
It's a lot of driving. That's $37.5 million a day for just gas tax.
So if my question is, man, if that's the case, why do we have potholes and stuff?
Exactly. Shouldn't we be driving, all every one of us, on an electric monorail system we should be living like the Jetsons. $37.5 million a day is generated just by the tax that we pay on the gas.
Someday when we're doing this show in 20 years, we're going to have drone, you know, you're going to fly back to Madera South. Your little baby drone. Bye, Matt! And you're gone.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to happen.
I mean, couldn't we just siphon off $1 million of that for one day and then, you know, put that in an annuity?
It would be nice. Maybe
Siriaco and young men and women like Siriaco would have no problems. How about that concept?
And then maybe they can take the other, out just one of those million, maybe we start a Fresno Unified School District. We get one more football sports stadium.
How about another stadium in the district? That would work.
Wouldn't it be nice with all these new schools coming in? Central looks like it's going to be 2021. Central's going to have a new high school out there, sharing one stadium for two teams. That's easy. We've got seven teams.
I wonder when in the world, in our country, when it started. When I was growing up, a high school is built, there's a gym, and there's a sports field.
Yeah, how did
stadium.
They miss that
when
one?
Did it become like, you know, we're not going to, where we're going to cut back on is we're not going to build a track and a stadium for football because that other school across town has one. And then before you know it, schools are being designed with a football field, but they just don't pay the extra how much. Give me some bleachers and some goalposts. Now you've got another stadium.
Bullard this year, they're going to play Pittman, team up north. First time ever at Bullard High School. On a Friday night, they're going to have a home.
Really?
Yeah, a home game.
Well, they have a natural berm. It's kind of like an Edison. They could have built a stadium right there. It's just a little bit of infrastructure. But then you could get a nice 4,000-seat
Bullard Knights have really nice lights. They don't have anything else. But that would be nice if they could do that. You're absolutely right. You go to Bakersfield, Stockdale, Centennial, Liberty. They all have great stadiums, and that's a home field advantage. I don't understand. Why wouldn't they put a stadium in back then? Even Clovis Unified didn't do it. They had the big one at Buchanan. Clovis North has a nice one, but
they had the original LaMonica, yep. Clovis Unified. And then the next school to
for
be
two
built
teams.
Was Clovis West, and they did not build a stadium.
No, which they probably thought, well, we got two schools for one. We'll just, well, we got another one coming in.
Right.
And obviously, we better build Buchanan.
But then they went Clovis East.
Yeah.
And now they have three sharing that. And then they went Buchanan. No, they went Buchanan, then Clovis East.
Yeah.
Buchanan built the stadium, so then they had a 2-4. Then they went Clovis North. It doesn't make sense to me that you already have, all those schools we just mentioned, have a running track that I'm sure Siriaco's run on all those facilities. You have lights, so you have infrastructure. You have seats, bunch of metal bleachers, but how much more would it cost just to add to that conglomeration?
The lights aren't the greatest, though.
Yeah, but come on. You have wiring already there. We're doing that at my high school right now.
Spruce it up a little.
We're going to put extra higher-powered lights on, but you already have the poles and the light. It's amazing to me that they don't take – there has to be something we're missing. Could be parking. Could be the neighborhood saying, we don't want high school football games at night in our neighborhood.
Well, that's why Bullard High School, when Mike Noakes was coaching at Bullard, that we never got lights because the neighbors didn't want lights at night and the traffic and all that.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they're gone by now. So Jim Chandrini and the Bullard Knights out there, let's get the lights going out there. We'll throw it out there.
You know, I played I bumped into Jim's son.
Sandrini?
Jim Sandrini's son. How is Jim doing? You talk to him very often?
Yeah, Jimbo's doing good. He's just still working on that Bullard Knight field out there. It's rolling the best. We play some games out there on Sunday, so it's really nice still.
I think it's nice to see that Fresno State is starting to get a lot of the preferred walk-ons. I remember early as 5, 6, 7 years ago, I was always pushing college coaches, okay, let me get this straight. You like one of my guys, but you're not liking him enough to really think about offering him that scholarship. I'm talking football player. Everybody, that includes Fresno State before Coach Tedford showed up. Well, our walk-ons, we got – a walk-on is free. Free. He's paying for his own way. He's already there on your campus. He's already going to get enrolled in your school. I never understood
– Well, why don't you explain
the decisions that were made.
Well,
but now you see Fresno State has got, you know, from McKinley Lee the third to now the Tanner Blunt at Buchanan. They got another kid coming in. Now all of a sudden you're seeing, and guys I've coached are all now easily placed for these preferred walk-ons. What the heck happened? I don't understand.
Well, I know Jeff Tefford gets it. That's why. The old coaching staff had no idea about that. And you worked hard with the old coaching staff to try to even get him to your campus at Edison.
Yeah.
And he didn't know, well, what street? Kings Canyon. I don't even know where that's at. Why wouldn't he go out to the west side and see some of those players? But explain to him what a preferred walk-on compared to a walk-on.
Yeah, well, preferred walk-on means that you're privy to the off-season workouts in the winter. You are treated at a level, a pure walk-on. Let's just start there. A pure walk-on is somebody that they've deemed good enough to come to practice and basically get in the way of all of our good players and just get steamrolled. You were what was called in the old days cannon fodder. The term cannon fodder was developed based on guys who walked on the program because why would they want to beat down the scholarship guy? For instance,
they're a meat.
Myself,
the meat squad.
Or Tim McDonald. We need a body out there that could give us a look. But in all reality, if he tweaks an ankle or gets rolled over and he can't play the next. Let's get another one of those guys. And the preferred walk-on, in the truest sense of the word, has a lot of material where they're more involved in the team, but they're just really a higher caliber of a walk-on. Because you're only allowed still, even with walk-ons, you can't have 300 kids on your team. You're only allowed so many. So preferred status is what A.J. Smith, Edison High School, we got him on to Boise State. A preferred walk-on means that when the season's done, he gets into the off-season workouts. He goes to the spring football as a walk-on.
Impossible work on a scholarship.
And he's working towards a scholarship.
Yeah.
He's going to be treated a little bit more fairly than the old-school traditional just walk-on.
So you see some of those team meetings, and all of a sudden they bring the guy up, and they're talking about Johnny and John. Oh, he's getting the scholarship, and then they all go crazy.
That's why we had that discussion, you and I, based on baseball, and somebody, one of the radio talking heads popped off about USC baseball. They used to win every year. Now they can't win. Because in those days, there was no scholarship restrictions. A university could give 40 baseball scholarships, full rides if they wanted. That's their prerogative. Then the NCAA came in. The NCAA came in and started regulating how many scholarships we can give. And then Title IX hit, so we got to spread it out between female athletes, male athletes. Everyone's got to get a piece of the pie. And so the private schools, i.e. a USC, which cost approximately $60,000 a year to go to, over a state's college, I always use Arizona State where I grew up, cost you $4,000 for the year to go to. Mom, Dad, I'm good enough to play baseball, but can you pay $60,000 a year, or do you want to pay $4,000 a year? Honey, go play baseball at the state college because it's not as expensive. That's where the private institutions started to slip, because you know how hard it is to find families that have a great student athlete like a Siriaco Dixon, but oh, by the way, we can't give you a full scholarship, but we want you to come to our university. Okay. But you need to go get a loan for $60,000 a year.
Who does that?
Well, so you get a few rich kids send their kids there to a school like a Stanford or USC. But let's be honest, most rich kids really aren't the kids that play the best, in my opinion, especially in the world of football. It's a little different socioeconomic base where the kids you're going after don't necessarily come from rich, rich, rich households.
Okay, we've been doing this show for maybe 2005, 6, somewhere. Our anniversary's coming up, so we should be getting some balloons or something, maybe a Pop-Tart. I don't know. It's our choice.
Yep.
But everybody wants to know, at the end of every episode, every show, you say, get in the game. Why do you say it, and how long have you been saying it?
Tim McDonald and I, Tim had a dream, World Sports Cafe. We got a guy by the name of Ron Nickel, design guy, unbelievable, did the logos, did a lot of stuff. And he had a slogan back there before Nike, put yourself in the game. And in our restaurant, the murals, one of them said, put yourself in the game. Essentially meaning, for Siriaco Dixon, as we go to the close of the show, he's still in the game. And I'm telling everybody that are in his condition and others out there, at the end of every episode, get in the game. Don't quit on the game. Yeah. Stay in the game. Yeah. That's when I say get in the game.
Thank you to Russ, Bobby Boy, Siriaco Dixon, Alvin Medina, and the Chipmunks. We'll see him Saturday in Sanger. Thanks for hanging out with us in the Rise Show. We'll see you back next week. Tomorrow, 4 o'clock, Blast and Brew. Nick and Nick, a great Friday show. Have a great afternoon. You've been listening to the Rise Show, 940 ESPN.
Get in the game.